Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening?
Science isn't about facts. It's about what we want you to believe.
Somebody kill me!
Of Life Radio, where we're coming up on Christmas in just a few days. We all wrote our letters to Santa Claus, hoping he shows up with a big bag full of personal liberty, personal responsibility, and personal accountability. I am, as always, your host, the Chief, coming to you from somewhere in the vicinity of Portland, Oregon. If you'd like to join the show, the number here, as always, 949-272-9588. Well, it's now officially winter. Yesterday, I guess, was the first day of winter officially, the winter solstice. Of course, for me, yesterday, maybe had a bizarre, didn't even think about it yesterday, but it would have been my mother's 99th birthday, but lost her back in some other millennium, so easy to not think about that. But it's the winter solstice, so, you know, happy holidays for any Wiccans that might be listening. I hope you had a good time, you know, going, doing whatever it is you do. Go out in the woods, you know, start a bonfire, dance naked, whatever it is. I guess that's what you're supposed to do on the winter solstice. But this year we, of course, had something a little bit different because right at the winter solstice, we had the alignment of the planets, Jupiter and Saturn. I guess they're starting to spread out again now, but right about the time of the solstice, they came about as close together as they've been, at least, you know, in relation to the Earth and the angular separation. As viewed from Earth, was only something like 6 minutes of arc, something like that. Just for reference, the angular diameter of the sun or the moon is roughly 30 minutes of arc. So, yeah, if you're like as blind as me, you maybe wouldn't have been able to hardly distinguish as two separate things. But, of course, being wintertime, and me being in Oregon, I couldn't distinguish a whole lot because it's cloudy. It's always cloudy this time of year. Actually, I did get a chance to see them very close together a few days ago. It broke out, and I figured clouds broke, and I figured I better go look at them because it might be the only chance I would get. So there's that. But what does it mean with the planets in some unusual alignment? Could this be like the next dawning of the age of Aquarius? I mean, after all, we know that there's going to be a time when peace will guide the planets and love will steer the stars in about a month from now, because Joe Biden will be the president. Obviously, everything will suddenly be perfect. Our media will say what a wonderful job our government is doing, how great our president is. No matter what he does, everything will be right, as opposed to the previous 4 years when everything the president did was wrong, no matter what it was. Now everything will be right. So there's that to look forward to. Or not. But, okay. There's just a few things going on here. Yeah, I didn't give a whole lot of thought to what I wanted to say today, but a few things that I kind of have to address. Now, this is not new news. I heard about this about a week ago, I guess. But, okay, it's even older news than that because President Trump still has not conceded the election. He still somehow thinks he's going to pull it off, or he wants people to think he's going to pull it off or something. Maybe I'll talk a little bit about it, but there's been all kinds of legal challenges, and well, I guess last week state of Texas sued some other states about how they conduct their elections, and that suit was joined by several other states, and briefs were filed by dozens of congressmen and all that sort of thing. And the Supreme Court decided, no, they didn't want to hear the case. Nobody had standing. Now, I understand that. It's kind of what I expected would happen, you know, because for one state to say, I don't like how you did your election, well, you know, you can't just sue somebody for because you don't like what they're doing. You have to be able to show how you were harmed and all that sort of thing. That's where the principle of standing is. I mean, I can't just walk out and sue the guy, you know, in the next town because he's not keeping his yard clean and it's damaging the property values of the people, his neighbors. I mean, it doesn't affect me. If it was my next door neighbor was doing something, I could maybe sue them because I might have standing. Okay, so I understand all that. No surprise that that's how it went. However, I heard something, and I didn't hear a whole lot about it. Something just sort of went by me. I read it somewhere, and I found it very, very disturbing. Okay, because, you know, the way the Supreme Court operates is, you know, when they're going to decide what they're going to do, what cases they want to hear, or how they're going to rule on things, they all huddle together in a room. Nobody else is allowed inside, and they talk about things and decide, and then they tell people, you know, what they decided or what came out. So I guess what came out about this deliberations was that it was 7-2 to not hear the case. Like I say, okay, not a big surprise. I guess the only two that wanted to hear it were Justices Thomas and Alito. Even the three Trump-appointed judges did not want to hear it. Yeah, okay, whatever. But what I found really disturbing was that I guess it was reported, and this may not even be true. Maybe this is something that came out, but, you know, nobody was in the room, but people were outside the room. And I guess the Chief Justice was rather animated in his discussions. He was loud enough that people from outside heard him and were able to hear, determine that it was in fact his voice saying this stuff. And what he was saying was, we can't hear this case. We can't do this, because if we let this case come before us, it could start riot. The people will riot. And I'm thinking, wow, if you think that taking a case will cause people to riot, that is a reason that you should take the case. No matter how you decide the case, by allowing the thought that the people might riot to decide whether or not what the court is going to do. Now, the Supreme Court is apparently no longer the highest court in the land. The rioters on the street get to overrule what the Supreme Court does. That's the way it looks to me. The Supreme Court is worried about there might be riots. Riots can be put down. Get the police. I mean, granted, we don't do a whole lot of that around here because, you know, Portland. But if you really want to, you can put down a riot, arrest people, tear gas, rubber bullets, live ammunition, if it really comes to that. You can do it. You can stop a riot. But to let the rioters stop, or the threat of rioters stop the court from doing what they believe they should do, that's scary. I just can't. They ceded their authority to the mob. Better to take the case, and for no other reason, just to let the mob know who's in charge. And they can decide it any way they want. But I'm just wondering, were they looking for a reason not to take it because the facts of the case? Normally the Supreme Court doesn't judge cases on the facts. They only judge on the law, the Constitution, that sort of thing. But in this case, since, you know, the particulars, the time frame, they would have had to be in a position of judging the case on the facts. And maybe the facts were such that the mob would not have liked how they would have found it. They couldn't figure out a way to give the mob what they wanted based on the facts. So they used the technicality of standing. Is that what happened? I don't know. But, okay. Enough about that. More news. This is kind of a big news coming on. The Congress has passed the omnibus spending bill, you know, which includes something like, what, $900 billion in COVID relief. Is that $900 billion to provide assistance to Americans? And as they put that all together with a $1.4 trillion omnibus spending bill. So it looks like to me, if my numbers are right, we have like $2.3 trillion in spending, $900 billion of this is for this COVID relief. I don't know what to make of that. Ooh, yeah. And we all get $600. Let me see here. How many people, you know, a couple hundred million people get $600. I don't know. I gotta look at this here. Excuse me. Okay, let me break out my calculator. Let me see. Let's say 200 million. Let's figure about how much times 600 equals. $120 billion. $120 billion in relief for Americans, and this is coming out of a $900 billion relief package, because millions, billions of dollars are going to other countries, other organizations, other this international, all for some phony disease. This is staggering. This much money, let me see. First off, the vote, I don't know. I do not know if the president has signed it yet. It was, I guess, passed, last night, and then sent it to the president. So the House voted like 359-53, and it was like 92-6 or 93-7, something like that, in the Senate. So very few voted against this. Some did. I think I read a couple Democrats and a few Republicans. I saw the list of who voted against it, at least in the Senate. Okay. Let's break this down on a. I have for years been talking about this whole idea about government spending money, and the whole point is, what is money? Because some people are saying, okay, is this going to, who's getting helped by this? Who's getting hurt? They don't seem to understand that who gets hurt by this. I'll tell you who gets hurt by this kind of thing. That would be me. Because I'm somebody, don't have a whole lot of money. These days, my income is almost entirely from a couple pensions. Low fixed, fixed income. I'm one of those fixed income people, so to speak. And so, I worked for many years, and my house is paid for, and I theoretically should be doing okay, if not thoroughly, surrounded by opulence, reasonably comfortable. But what happens when you just spend all this money that you don't have? You see, the point I've been making for years is money does not equal wealth. Money is a medium of exchange. It's a way to assign values to different sorts of things. And where does money come from? Does the government create money? Well, they do. Do banks create money? They do. You know who else creates money? You do. I do. Anybody can create money. But that doesn't necessarily mean you create wealth. Now, I've got a couple minutes here. Let me explain how this works. How can I, just little old me, create money? Well, let's say I, you know, buy something on credit. I'm talking to you and, you know, you've got something I want. Say, well, you know, I'll pay you for this. But I don't have the money right now, but I'll pay you later. Okay. So I get something on credit. Well, you have my promise of payment, which you can, if you want, you can sell that to somebody else. So therefore, I have created money because I have agreed to give you money that I haven't given you. So therefore, there is more money in circulation because my promise is money. That's all money is. It is a promise to provide some actual wealth somewhere down the line. So I can create money that way by simply borrowing it. Now, how does that work exactly? I mean, people do this banks. What happens? You have a dollar. You put your dollar in the bank. Well, you still have that dollar because the bank is just holding it for you. You haven't given it to them. You haven't spent it. You just allowed them to hold it. So you still have that dollar. But the bank also has that dollar. And they can loan that dollar to somebody. And then that person has a dollar. So your $1 is now $3. The dollar you still have, the dollar the bank has, because, and the dollar the person the bank loaned it to has. So out of $1, you've created two more dollars, just that quickly. But say there's a hamburger. Got a nice hamburger, costs a dollar. Okay. Yeah, where can you get a hamburger for a dollar these days? See, I'm so old, I remember when a McDonald's hamburger cost 15 cents. But, yeah, just talking about my age here. If there's one hamburger there, that hamburger is, that's actual wealth. But who can buy this? Well, can you buy it? You still have, you can go to the bank, get your dollar out and buy the hamburger. Or the banker can buy the hamburger with your dollar. Or the guy that borrowed your dollar from the bank can buy that hamburger for the dollar. But there's only one hamburger. You have not created more wealth. So therefore, what happens? That hamburger, in effect, now costs $3 because each person that has the dollar has equal claim to the hamburger. That's how it works. And when the government just magically creates money by writing a check for money they don't have because they borrowed it, that means that people like me or you or anybody that has money, say, in the bank or kind of a fixed income, your money has less purchasing power. Nothing's changed about the amount of money you have, but the amount of wealth that you can get in exchange for the amount of money you have constantly decreases. That's what they call inflation. That's what the government's doing with this coronavirus. Makes everybody feel good, everybody that doesn't think about it, everybody that doesn't care about it. Yeah. Joe Biden said our darkest days are ahead concerning this coronavirus. Well, I think our darkest day was when we passed this. So that's it. And I'm getting short on time. And you know what? I think, let's just wrap this up. Little Eddie Walker Jr. on the shipment.
Sailing out on the sea, make a sailor so lonely. Way, way, thinking about her, thinking about being. Thinking about her, yeah, it's all so true. Sad part is every shade of blue. His life is every shade of blue. Underway. Without her.